All right. First of all, I apologize. I will not be here tomorrow, but Brother Bo is going to teach tomorrow. Had an infection all week and had got some antibiotics, and I got allergic to antibiotics. Kick off that, get some other ones. So I did not get anything accomplished for next week up at church camp that I have to get packed, loaded, and all the gear done. So I've got to do that tomorrow. But Brother Bo is going to fill in, and I appreciate him stepping in there and doing that as well. I gave you something to look at, and I'll try to do that tonight. If not, we will look at that more next time. But we're looking at the tabernacle as we consider it. I wanted to lease the young preachers, those that are going to, you know, prayerfully be in the ministry, pastoring one of those churches. They need to, you know, try to put these things into practice. It's good for all of us to put to memory some of these scriptures and some of these teachings of the tabernacle, and specifically referencing to the chart. And I began thinking about this, I don't know if it was yesterday or today. As Brother Mike just said, I don't know often enough if maybe we relate this as well as we should. I'm talking me as teachers. And I think I was watching, somebody reflect, he's a physicist. And he was speaking way above what I could even think and comprehend. But he was bringing it down to what enabled him to learn things that seemingly those around him with greater intelligence never really could understand. And he said, you know, I realized it wasn't anything to do with intelligence. It was about how they saw things and how they looked at something. And as he was saying that, I was relating it, of course, to the Bible and studying and how we understand the Bible. And everything he was saying was perfectly aligned with what this chart is bearing out. Now, I hope that in your memorizing and putting to memory the chart and the scriptures, it becomes more than something that you have just put everything in its box. And you can quote the scriptures, and man, you can just flow. Because I was at that point, right? Sitting where you're at, you happen to memorize the chart, happen to memorize the scriptures and point to this and everything about this subject. But then something else has to happen if it has any significance and any real purpose. And that is, how do I use it? Not how do I understand it, how do I memorize it, or how I can, you know, perfectly put it on a piece of paper and show you, boy, that's it. But how do I use that? And what does it mean? Because if you get this part of it down, I think Brother Doug back there in his first class and talking about these other churches and origins, there wouldn't be any of that.
Yeah.
If we got this tabernacle, got this chart, got this to where we could use it, we would have no other teaching. There would be no other doctrines. And remember what the Lord, using Apostle Paul, what he brought to some of these brethren, said, I marvel how so soon you are what? Removed, right, from the gospel, from this doctrine, from this teaching. And the chart will make us to where we see what God is sharing with us, the truth. Not what I think and what we come to, but the truth, right? So, I don't know who I picked on. I think it was Brother Jared last time about going through the chart. I don't want to take the time for that tonight, but I hope you're continuing that. And along with the memorization, along with understanding it, stop for a minute and say, well, why? Why do I need to know all this? Why is this so important? I even got a text from a former pastor, a while back, after the class, and said, "Man, it's been a while since we've had to memorize, or young preachers had to memorize a scripture text." Well, I know I did. I know Brother Mike did, Brother Doug did. We had to do that, and maybe we've gotten lax, but there's a purpose behind it, and it's going to force us to see through. I think we talked about, I think it was at the Bible conference, through the lens. It forces us to see through the lens of God and what He's trying to get us to understand. All right. So in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, when we consider the tabernacle and the chart that we're going to look at that brings us this tabernacle, it's not all about just the tabernacle. See, studying the tabernacle, great. But again, to what end? To what purpose? It's great to be a scholar on the tabernacle. But if that's all we are, then we're going to stand there before Christ and say, "You missed it all. You missed everything." Because it points to Christ and His church, the way. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When we consider the scriptures, we consider the Bible we looked at last time, right? This library, divine library, 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, divisions there. All of the work of the scriptures, the 66 books, is for us to know God and to know the way of God, right? As what Brother Cooper brought out, the end goal is fellowship between God and men. That's His desire for us. Well, that's what the Bible was given to us for, to bring us to that place. Amen. And so, we then have to, as it says right here, rightly divide the word of truth in order to understand, well, what is God's will? And right, we talk about that. A lot of things in the Old Testament declare things that God wanted men to perform, men to do. And if we did them today, we would be sinning, because we're not to do that anymore. We're not to offer animal sacrifices. We're not to follow these laws. We're not to obey the Sabbath day. There are things that are not for us. So in this rightly dividing, right, we have to reconcile. Well, what is it that we follow? What is it that we allow ourselves to be ruled or governed by? And I think we talked about last time, well, it's the New Testament. It's the Psalms. The Old Testament law, the prophets being done away, encouraged in Ephesians to use the Psalms in the Psalm books, speaking to yourself one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We were encouraged as New Testament church members to use those. So in rightly dividing, that's what He gives us. Now, as we begin to break this down now, what I want to kind of consider is this chart, again, is that, unlocking mechanism to be able to discern the way of God versus the way of man, right? Humanism. Because all other religions or variations of religions come from humanism. How I see the scriptures, this is what I see. And that's one of the reasons why last time I said, I want you to think about how much Bible, how much scripture do you need to prove truth? And that, is a pretty, vague way to think of things. But sometimes we get, well, there's not. What Bible do you have for that? So you turn to a couple of scriptures. Well, that's not enough. How much Bible do you need to prove truth? Because there's a lot of doctrines we have. There's only a couple of scriptures at all. There's a lot of examples, isn't that? But there's not very many scriptures that teach that. So then how do we reconcile? Well, what does the Bible teach? Going from Genesis, what does it teach? What is the context? What is the scriptures portraying in this? We have to gather all that together to rightly divide, harmonize the scriptures, right? When we'll get into the harmony, and Brother Cooper hammered that in your head for at least, 6 years? So we should have that part of it down, right? But we're gonna hammer it again. But let's go to first. Yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We'll start here. How we carry out the Lord's work, do we do it the same that Peter and John did and Paul, the Apostle Paul? Do we serve and work, serve the Lord in the same fashion that they did? That's a question.
They were apostles. Today we have the completed word of God. They didn't have the completed word of God back then. So they were able to, they had very good that they were able to do. Today we only have people charity. But everything was the same in there. I think our examples to look at. The only difference, I think, when you know, when you see Paul and Silas, you see, like, you know, when they get sent out from a church, usually they're going two by two. Today, it's just by one. Other than that, I don't really know any other differences.
Sure. So, that's all true. So, do we serve the Lord in the same way that they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
13:8.
What's that?
Hebrews 13:8. Same yesterday, today.
God's the same, right? Now, we can then go all the way back. Well, do we serve God the same way that Joshua did?
We're under grace.
What'd you say? Hebrews what? 13:8?
Amen.
So there is a change. Think about it. Now we're ready to say, well, you know, Peter and John and Andrew and going, you know, Timothy and Paul, you know, they serve the Lord and worship the Lord exactly how we do. Well, did Joshua, did they serve the Lord exactly how we do?
Yeah. During Joshua, they had the tabernacle, and that's the place where they were to serve God. It's inside that tabernacle. It's, you know, we see in Acts 7:38, it's a church in the wilderness. Today, we have this New Testament church. And so you see the same thing happen.
Okay.
See where God can dwell. He dwelled in that tabernacle. And where today, where he dwells with his people inside his New Testament church.
What about Job?
It's the same.
What about Job or Abraham? We can go back before that. Do they serve the Lord exactly like we do? Same way?
He's had the same plan at the very beginning.
Brother Cooper answered your question. You just got to think. You got to. This is what rightly dividing has to bring us to, Brother Doug.
I hope so. They're using the example in the New Testament for us. So, yes.
So then we have to reconcile, well, but that can't be because we bring up these examples. They can't have served the Lord the same way because they offered an animal. They did it on a Saturday, or even go before that, right? And whether it was Cain and Abel, and their worship of the Lord, they don't, it's not the same. Well, was brought out Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, God didn't change. He hasn't changed. He's the same. And if he, as Brother Cooper brought it, if he literally knows the end from the beginning, why would he change and make it confusing for man to know God and how to worship God? Because that's what we're saying. Well, he did it this way for Adam, and here we got with Job and with Abraham, and then a little bit different. When Moses comes, we have something different. And then, right, when the temple comes, a little bit different, and now we have Christ. Now it's greater.
Well, with the Romans 12, 1 and 2, with the sacrifice. Well, we're still making sacrifice. But the spiritual one.
Yeah.
And that's all the physical ones taught. That's how they're viewed, the spiritual ones.
Yep.
Our very best.
Yep.
Not our leftover. Not something discarded from the heart.
Yep.
And it talks about, with the reference at there in Romans, about what the Old Testament and those sacrifices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a connection right there.
Yes.
They taught it. We still do it. It's just... Nobody's getting bloody.
Yeah, we'll get there, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Galatians 3:8, God preached the gospel to Abraham. Preach the gospel to him. How else would he know when he was called on the Isaac? When he didn't lie to Isaac, when he said God will provide himself. Not right.
Yep.
So the same.
Yep. Yep. Now, the thing that is hard for us to reconcile, and again, this is why I brought this out. You and I need to focus on the questions. We see the tabernacle, we see the chart, we try to make everything fit within that, but we never ask the questions of, well, what's the purpose? What's the purpose?
Okay.
Right? Because we think, well, the purpose, because we live in this age, we think the purpose of all this is his New Testament church.
Oh, sure.
And it's not, is it?
No.
No.
It goes back over there to Revelation. Man, it's actually that new city Jerusalem.
That's what.
And dwelling with man. It's all about that fellowship with his creation.
It's what he wanted from the beginning.
Yes.
That he saw in foreknowledge that we all would mess it up.
Yes, absolutely. And so when we consider, you know, looking at these, you know, this chart, it is trying to point us in all these studies, realize, man, okay, this is where, you know, right off the bat, this is where Adam failed. Look at his sons, this is where they failed. And then you go to Abraham and Job, and man, look at how they failed here. Oh, God brought him the law. So he went a while, and man, they departed that. This is where they failed. And then comes the church age, and it goes along, and guess what happens to the churches in the church age? Well, this is where they fail. But the teaching and the way of service has all been exactly the same. Maybe in different manners, but it's all led and pointing mankind to the same direction.
Yes.
Right? We are blessed because we've had some foundations laid. And we have been built upon, right? Oh, Peter didn't say we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have greater blessings to see more of the pictures. And so we should have a better understanding that how to serve the Lord, how to worship him. But the way of the tabernacle, why did God make that tabernacle? Why did God produce all of that? To reveal more pointedly the way of fellowship, the way of service to God, in a greater fashion than it was ever known before. See, everything builds upon itself to get us to the place where we can finally perceive things. Because really the reality is, if God would have just put out Revelation 22, I don't know if man would have ever been ready. We needed that learning. We needed that progression, right?
Down here.
What's that?
For 7,000
years. Yes.
Teaching us.
Exactly.
For what he wants to get.
Yep. And if you want to think of it in these terms, back up a little bit, right? What does a babe in Christ need?
Milk.
They need that. They can't endure the meat. But he expects that babe to grow, be able to get to the meat of the word, to have that knowledge, to come to that mature man. In the realm of mankind, that's literally where he's been building us. Not that we're greater than. No, we're more blessed because we've been given some of these things, right? In 1 Corinthians, we'll go to 13, but go to 12, chapter 12 first. Verse 1, he says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you not to have full knowledge of. Do not be ignorant, right? So from here, pretty much going through, he's going to deal with spiritual gifts and teaching the church and churches what they're for, the purpose of them, and, you know, how to see what's going to happen with them. And maybe, obviously not all, but with some of them in their use for the time coming. Then we get to chapter 13, and I'm not going to read all this, but I'll have maybe some read. Brother Reagan, would you read? Let's just go 8 down through 13.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
All right. So, you know, he's bringing out here the importance of what God has given them, the abilities, the gifts. And he says there, in verse number 8, he says, you know, whether there are prophecies, they're going to fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. Right? So it's when we think about how, you know, they served the Lord and served and worshiped the Lord, understand this was not a different way. It was an imperfect way because that which is perfect hadn't been fulfilled yet or completed in the Word of God. They did not serve God differently. And when you think about it, we have been given more, right? We have something greater than causing someone to rise from the dead. You and I, healing somebody that was sick, we have something greater than that. Yeah, and that's what we sometimes we fail to realize. Man, we should realize we have more power now than we've ever known. If we'd use that power, if you are.
Well, and that's why in the questions for Riley Dividing, the win is important.
Yep.
We disregard the win.
Yep.
And it's not asking for a date, but a period of time. And if we understand that period of time, we can understand then how the scripture applies.
Yep. Exactly. So throw these out here. John, the 3rd chapter. I know you've looked at this, and there's so many more. There was a purpose behind all of this. There's a need behind and for all these things. John 3, verse 2, right? Outsiders, those who were witnessing and looking at Christ and seeing his life. Here's Nicodemus, and it said, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So there was a recognition that this individual was more than just any other man, something different about him. Right now, that did not mean they knew, ooh, there's your Messiah.
Right.
It's not what it did. He didn't say, man, we know you're the Messiah. He just said, we know you're from God.
Yeah.
Now, what Jesus did and what he spoke revealed who he was. This drew them, made them perceive, right? Confirm, as we're going to talk about. Mark 16. And hopefully, right, I'm just looking at some of these that are on the chart. You expound on these. There's a lot of scripture that speak of the miracles and the purpose behind them. Mark 16 and 17 through 20. Brother Alex, you got that?
And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, they received him up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. For he received up into heaven.
Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
All right, confirming them, right? Working with them, confirming the word. Mm-hmm. Wasn't about the signs, wasn't about anything else. It was confirming the word that they were preaching. How do we know this is the word of God, or this is what God's trying to tell us? How do we understand these things? Because they couldn't go to, we'll turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to look at this. Yes. Couldn't do that. Then what's going to tell me that what you're saying and what you're preaching versus what this one over here is preaching is true, is God's word. God gave them this ability. Brother Christian, would you go over to Hebrews 2 and read verse 4 for us?
It says, God also bearing in witness, gave the signs and wonders and gave diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own
faith. All right. When we think about going back to 1 Corinthians 13, we know that in relation to what he's talking about, they were going to cease, right? Whether prophecy, whether tongue, they're going to cease. And he said, when that which is perfect has come. Now, it may be obvious that you and I, that we turn to, James, the first chapter, that which is perfect, right? The perfect law of liberty, the word of God. Not everyone jumps there, right? Some people jump to Jesus himself, that which is perfect, the individual. And there's arguments, well, it can't be that because that's not a proper English term, and he's not a that, it's who he is. Well, if you use that argument, great, but the Holy Spirit is referred to sometimes with those pronouns. Be careful with that argument. You know it's true.
Well, Matthew 1, called that whole thing.
Yeah, that whole thing, exactly. So just don't rely on that argument, so to speak. So there's Bible to prove and to show that it's not Jesus in his second coming, that it is the word of God. But turn over to Ephesians 4. This purpose, right, the miracles that they had, that they were given, the church, early churches that they used, was necessary for the time that they could prove the word. We'll just start in verse number 8 and read down through 14. Brother Josh, would you read that for us, Ephesians 4, 8 through 14?
Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, the Lord kept him captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, he also descended into other parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the things, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the Savior and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the truth, of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be the more children, taught to and grow, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sight of human truth. And then crafting and providing lives we can see.
All right. So he says up there, right, that verse number 8, when he ascended up on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's speaking about these things through the Holy Spirit that were given to the New Testament church and then churches from that to have this ability to minister to men. For, as he says right there, for the perfecting, verse 12, of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. And here's the purpose. Here's really where it comes. Until, right? Until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, sometimes what we do is we try to, in our mind, okay, what's he meaning there? Okay, we break it down to a local church until we all come to unity of faith. Tell me when any church has ever all come to the unity of faith. I want you to say that is not what that is saying. It's not talking about the word of God he's given us, that it brings us all to this unity of faith. That's going to be a continual process that's never really reached because we have young converts, we have old. That isn't what's being said right there.
And religion in the world basically believes that eventually God's going to paper over or unite with a different denomination in one, and that is the unity that's talking about. It's not that either.
No. So till we all come in the unity of the faith, literally is dealing with there. And he says, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Well, how do we learn about Jesus? How do we gain the knowledge of the Son of Man?
The Word of God. John 5.
Yeah. Jesus pointed, you just search the scriptures. So how could we ever have this until the Word of God was completed? That's what this is talking about. These gifts and the, right, as we even talk about there, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers, this, even all these works, all these ministries, all these special places, till we come in the unity of the faith, till we have that unity, fullness of the scriptures, when the word of God is complete, right? It's all there. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For what purpose? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to see. Now we have the Word of God to defend the faith Jesus has given us. And when something begins to creep in, we have the completed Word of God to defend that, right? We don't have to rely upon some miracle or some gift of knowledge or this gift of prophecy. And then, right, when the completed Word of God came, was fully here, and someone came in your midst claiming to have a prophecy, what could you do? You don't have a prophecy, right? That's gone. We know whatever comes for that is false. Because that's been done away. We have the completed Word of God. We have all that's necessary right here. That tells us that all the gifts and all the spiritual holiness work and movement, all those things, that is all humanism.
For sure.
That has been done away for a long, long time. And so anything that is a result or produces that has to be a work of what?
Devil.
Yeah, man or the devil, but it's not God. All right? God has a very, very clear plan, order. He's not a God of confusion. He wants us to have the understanding. So know that these miracles or the spiritual gifts that were given, they had, an expiration date. And he said it was till we have the unity of the faith. All right? And now, over there in 1 Corinthians 13, how he put it? When that which is part shall, right? We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is what? Perfect is come, which we can go what? Complete. What tells us, well, what is it? What is that which is perfect?
The Word of God.
Okay, well, what verse?
James 1:25,
right? But we're going to read a little more than that. James 1, let's start in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right? So the Word of God, this is the perfect law of liberty. The only thing perfect we have is his word. And yes, that spirit in us, right? That is perfect given, but it's only of God. And we have the perfect law of liberty. And he said up there, it's the engrafted word. That I want us to think about, the engrafted word. What does that mean?
Got the attitude.
What's that?
Put in.
Okay.
Like a tree. When you graft something into a tree.
It's implanted. So what does that mean?
Spirit will guide us into all truth.
What's that?
Spirit will guide us into all truth.
Yes. And be specific about that spirit.
The Holy Spirit is comforter inside of the New Testament church.
The Holy Spirit is comforter to his churches. Literally is able to implant that word, to bring that proof, to bring the truth, to give that assurance of what truth is. So he said, I need not that another man teach me, right? I have the Spirit of God. It's not that we should not rely on teachers. And this is a lot of why I brought out the beginning. We need people to disciple us. That's what Jesus told us to do, right? To disciple others. But if all we are is a disciple of a man, that's where we fail. You got to realize that I better start listening to what they're saying, take what they say, go back to the word, see if it's true. Because that's where every single false religion pops up. Because they just listened to what somebody said and they took it for that. It's not considering, well, how does that apply to scripture? Right?
Because it's in Berean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. They searched the scriptures to see. He didn't take it.
Daily.
Well, what did the spirit of David say? No more than my teacher. Why? Because that's the point of teaching.
Yep.
We're to lay a foundation for our students so that they can go beyond.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the job of the student.
Exactly.
The teacher is to lay the foundation and they're held accountable for that, but the student is held accountable
yep.
for not going beyond.
Yep. Exactly. And this chart, that's the beauty of the chart, the golden key, what he's trying to get. That's the beauty of it because it makes us see the Bible how God wants us to see it. And not just, this is what somebody's teaching me or something from, you know, another man. This is how God wants me to view this. There's a way to rightly divide. These are his words. Who better to know how to understand his words than him? Right? So we begin to break them down, study them, to fully know them. And that's that rightly dividing, right? Now we go back to 1 Corinthians 13. So we know that which is perfect. That is the word of God, the completed word of God. We have that. And he said there, when we have that which is complete, then that which is part shall be put away, done away. And verse 12, for now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, when the complete word of God is here, I know even as also I'm known. And now, when the complete word of God comes, now abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we have special gifts. Faith, hope, and charity. These are, you know, part of those original gifts given to that New Testament church there in Jerusalem. We have three of those gifts. Now, there's coming a day when we'll have one.
Hello.
One that's going to last through eternity. All right? So we can know that that which is perfect is the Word of God and not Jesus Christ because of that fact. People who want to say Jesus is that which is perfect has to be because he's the only thing that's perfect. And so we're going to have all these gifts till his second coming. When his second come, when he comes again, we're only going to have one gift, love. Because what does the Bible say about hope? Romans 8:24.
Yeah.
Hope that is seen
is
not hope. So when Jesus comes back and we see him, over, hope's done. Because we have that, no longer there. So in eternity, we're not going to have hope. Right? We had no need of hope. What about faith?
No.
What does Hebrews 11 say about faith?
Faith is something not seen.
Yes.
See it.
If I see it, why do I need it? Right? I don't need faith when Jesus is right here. I don't need faith about the city when I'm, you know, seeing or living in that city. I don't need that. What we'll have is love. That's what will be the eternal gift. So when Jesus Christ comes again, there won't be three remaining. There'll just be one remaining. Yeah. Love is the only eternal. That's why he said right there, the greatest of these is love. Of these two. Why? Because that's going to be eternal. We have faith and hope as a precious gift so that we can continue in this work. Have you ever thought about, Brother Dixon said a minute ago, got frustrated pounding on his steering wheel? What did he lose sight there for a minute of? Faith and hope. Right? We need that gift to keep us going in our service to the Lord. When we lose sight of that, we see everything in a physical manner. And man, if people just don't get it, we get frustrated, we get angry, we get all these things because we lose that faith and hope of just doing the work. And we need that gift to remind ourselves, hey, I have a work to do.
When we seek our own.
Yeah.
Christ.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, things come by hearing by the word of God. So in order to exercise those gifts, we have to study and understand it to be able to use it.
Yep. Absolutely. And there are so many out there that you're going to battle with in a religious, you know, world that wants to use some form or fashion, you know, gifts are here. I know what I see. I know what I've seen. I know what I've heard. All I've experienced.
Flesh.
You can't fight against that. Don't.
No.
You know, I had a church member for a lot of years there in Toledo that church, they had that in the back of their mind, that belief of a miracle was done. He knew it was done. He could share with you all these scriptures that they've gone away, but he knew what he saw. Couldn't get past that. I'm not going to deny what is done out there in this world. We're just saying what Jesus has given us.
The word, yeah.
And the work of God, that's been done away.
I had the same thing. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you what you saw, didn't see. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you the Bible, that God doesn't do that anymore.
Yep.
So if you saw what you think you saw, showing in the scriptures, is that of God or was that of something else?
Exactly.
And that is eventually they got off of that. But
yep.
It took a few years.
Yeah.
But I was like, you're not going to argue. I can't argue what you think you saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this tells us what is real.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes we want to fix everything, fix people, especially people that are unlearned.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you'll be like me beating the steering wheel going down the road.
Yep.
And then you just lose precious time.
Yep. Yep. And all this is, right, all these other doctrines, all these other teachings, all these beliefs is literally just Satan's way to get us off of the work we have. And to doubt God and the truth of his word. Right? I don't understand. If we taught and studied and believed the way that the church shows us, we would not have to fight our own brethren from following in false doctrines and compromising. There would be no compromise because simply, well, this is what the Word of God says. This is the Bible doctrine. Every time we have to confront or deal with this false teaching coming in, this false doctrine, this compromise, it literally is because they're not rightly dividing. They're failing to study the scriptures using God's method, right? They're trying to use their own method. Use God's method.
Yeah.
It will reveal that truth every time.
No different. It goes into things when the children of Israel, when they were wanting a king, you know, God said, it's not, they're not persecuting you, they're persecuting you.
Mm-hmm.
Not, if we're just speak the word, kind of give us it now. Yep. It's so nice, you know, I mean, yes, there's a way to go about teaching things, you know, but as long as the Holy Spirit's leading, but it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And Samuel learned a lesson there, right? That, you know, and we got frustrated. We got, no, it's me they're dealing with. I'm like,
take all patient. And, you know, I've watched most of the people in this room that have been around kids. How patient were you with your child? Mm-hmm. Very, genuinely very patient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes these people are still babies.
Yep.
They just have that. They got white. They may have gray hair, but they're still babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't talk them like they're stupid. But remember, there may be a vein.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not there.
Yep.
So how you go about it, can either help them to get there or stop them. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Any other questions, comments? We're gonna quit tonight. Yeah, we're gonna answer.
Yeah, it's not about that. One, see if it remains. If they play on exactly. So I love how God always has been and always will be. Oh, love always has been and always will be. So we have to take the bucket.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's stand. Appreciate your time.